Good evening, everybody. So I think I'll just pick up where I just mentioned that we are in the 3 weeks. In fact, next week we'll start the 9 days. So the next time we will be speaking, Mr. Shem, we'll be doing the 9 days. And as I mentioned, that personally, all of us should be looking to feel the 3 weeks. The point of the 3 weeks is to make us be mitzapah, the Yeshua, to want the Mashiach, to want the redemption. Every day we're supposed to, one of the questions we will all be asked after 120 plus years is, Tzipisul Yeshua, did we wait for the redemption? Did we wait for the Geula? So that's every day. And the 3 weeks in particular, and the 9 days, and certainly Tisha B'Av, are times of introspection that our lives aren't perfect. And as good as we may imagine it is, we're really, to a large extent, extraordinarily limited. But beyond that, you know, the Mekubalim, the Kabbalists, would cry for Tzar Shechina Begalusa, the pain of the Divine Presence in the Gullus, which means, say, because we're in pain, whether we're cognizant of it or not, Hashem, so to speak, is in pain. And when we think to ourselves, the Chil Hashem, the tremendous Chil Hashem that's today, that Yidden could be, it's an inverted world. We're the accused of genocide. We who are blood libeled are accused of genocide. We are endangered by people who are the murderers, and it's not taken seriously. That Chil Hashem, the Chil Hashem that millions of Jews walk around this world knowing nothing about Yiddishkeit, let alone waiting for Mashiach, it's a tremendous Chil Hashem. And really, for me at least, I could just share that albeit on a very strong level, my emunah, just seeing how irrational the world is since October 7th, and not just the enemies, the jihadists and the far left DSA communist crowd, who are really our enemies, nothing less, are out in the open without any busha, without any shame. But the whole world is bought into lies. That Chil Hashem for me, first of all, it strengthens me to reminds me that Hashem runs the world. It doesn't make any sense but Hashkacha. But it also is a tremendous Chil Hashem, and it bothers me. It reminds me that we need to do what we can to do real Tikkun Olam. And real Tikkun Olam is Kiddush Hashem. Real Tikkun Olam is Torah. And real Tikkun Olam is Chesed. Real fixing the world is Chesed. So we started last week. We were not able to finish it on some of the things, how we should treat guests, Hachnasas Orchim. And so we're going to pick up and resume over there. So Kasvu Asaram HaKadoshim says in this farm, Kishiyavo Yavo Orchim Aveso Shadam, when somebody comes to your house, you cavil in the savor upon him, you should smile, you should greet them, you should make them feel comfortable. Right? When people come to your house, like we've all been guests, okay? It's nice if someone says, Shalom Aleichem, welcome, what can I do for you? How can I make you feel comfortable? Whatever inherently, when you're in somebody's house, is a level of uncomfortability. That's just the nature of the game. I think I said last week somebody called us for a shidduch. It's a crazy. I've had it this week, Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, yeah. Person talked to us by us Monday night. Somebody, another person, called our house, contacted us. Could we host somebody coming to Chicago? He's not even, the girl he was meeting is not in Chicago. She's in camp 2 hours away. Apparently the person was dating in New York or New Jersey before summer camp, and this girl is a counselor, does something in a camp, and he's not from here. So somebody who knows us contacted us. Could we host some person? And he came for shidduch. So the guy comes to the house. Now, imagine I would just greet the person. Oh, welcome. Rooms are there. He doesn't know me. He has no connection to us. The family has no connection to us. The girl has no connection to us. Okay, would he be uncomfortable? Maybe yes. Maybe no. He wouldn't be so comfortable. So my wife, of course, is much better than me. She told me where he got food, and he was very comfortable. He took food himself in the morning on the way to the airplane, on the way out. Anyone's normal in nature. You see somebody, you greet them, shalom aleichem. Come to my, if you're staying in your house, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? It's an uncomfortable feeling inherently. You make people feel comfortable. I think I've said this before, let's reiterate this. There is a level of chesed orachim when somebody comes to the shul, or any shul for the first time. You go to a new place, you go to a place that's uncomfortable. You go to a place, there's a level of uncomfortability. Somebody walks into the shul, whether they're yeshivish, chassidish, rebbeish, or they're coming now to yarmulke, you have to bring the yarmulke. Everybody, when they go to a new place, there's a level of uncomfortability. So you welcome them. You say, Shalom Aleichem, you're welcome. Can I get you a sitter? Do you know where you are? Do you need a seat? Etc. That's a level of Chazos Korchem. And you do it with a smile. V'yasim yalifneim. Now, if it's a guest coming to your house and they're hungry, feed them right away. Because I just mentioned before this, I had a conference. I actually left early this conference. It was like a head of school type thing with some very prominent people in Stamford, Connecticut. And I had the 8th grade graduation for the boys of the yeshiva. It was at 7 o'clock. I arrived in Chicago at 5:10. I got to my house at 5:50, I think 5. I had mincha at 6:15, and I had to go. My head was flying. I was like, it happens to be, my wife had food for me. I was set food for me ready. Like, I was very happy to eat and run. I wouldn't have had dinner otherwise. But the bottom line I'm going to say is that, people are hungry. They come. It's traveling. It's like, it's tiresome. You have a guest. They're not traveling. They come. They're not going to ask you right away if they're supposed to eat, but you feed them right away. Tzuhubos, smile, comfortable. Again, you're the bet. We've been saying this. You're the winner. You're the giver. You're giving it to yourself, not just to them. Be happy for the opportunity. Do it happily. You know how uncomfortable it is to be in someone's house and there. I was in someone's house to get into a fight. You know how uncomfortable it is for someone in your house to be a visitor and you see that? You know how disconcerting that is? So you gotta smile with pan tsuhubos, smiley face, and not zoifos, not an angry face. Let's say the person makes arrangements to come to your house. And no shaykhis, something has no connection. Something comes up that day, it's very distressing, very aggravating. Don't share it. What do they deserve to come to your house and you're all stressed out and you're sharing your stress with them? They don't need to know about it. You welcome them, you greet them, you be friendly and geschmack, pleasant. And if you're stressed, share it with your spouse, share it with your rabbi, share it with somebody else. Don't bring it to a guest who's inherently uncomfortable. It's not fair. It's not fair to the person. You should act to them like you're wealthy. Even if you're poor. I've been in certain houses in Shalim and Bnei Brak. They're poor. I know they're poor. They tell you they're living very simply. But when you came, they served you like Kasuda Shoshlom Avalach, like the Kasuda of King Solomon. They acted like wealthy. They didn't skinge. I went to once, I think maybe twice. I went to someone, I never practiced quite a place. The kids didn't have a lot of food. They gave me a lot of food. I was like, I ain't going back to the place. Like the guests, like the kids, like look at your food, like, oh wow, this guy. But it happens to be, I don't fully agree, but there is something for the kids, a lesson how to welcome a guest. And this family obviously are very special people. They're looking to welcome the guest. I don't necessarily agree that the kids lose out in the process. But even in my disagreement, I still think there's a plus of children saying, you're welcome a guest. you welcome somebody, they're your guest. You act like an usher, you act like a wealthy person. V'nachmena b'dvarim, you give him comforting words. V'zeil in the Meish of Nefesh, now he's the Chofetz Chaim in particular, is talking about very often in the old days, the people who would knock on your door were people who were impoverished, they were traveling, they didn't have money, they couldn't afford to go anywhere. Hachrasas Orcha meant you took someone to your house who would have slept in the street, perhaps in the freezing cold of Poland or Russia. Don't start telling him all kinds of stressful, terrible things. You start the ear talk on things, they think that, you know, it's their fault. You can really lose out, right? You welcome somebody, you know, it just happens to be about Kibra V'Aim now. But even, you know, the place can discuss that when you're a child, you shouldn't tell your parents stressful things for no reason. You shouldn't stress them out, okay? Don't stress them out. I'll tell you the truth. When I was a bachur, I'd not just stress my parents out, they would have been really stressed. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was in Israel. I think the year is, it was right before the second Intifada. I was in the Mir Yeshiva. I believe it was 1999. And I saw a suicide bomber blow himself up. I didn't tell my parents for years. They would have been, if I told them I was in the Mir, they would have totally been stressed. What do you think, are there sons in Israel? I literally was on the bus, 150 feet, the bus got to get off. The guy blew himself up right by Machane Yehuda. That's when they had the suicide bombers. That was that time. I didn't tell my parents. Why should I tell them? Give me one reason I should tell my parents. I didn't think I was in danger. I had zero reason to tell them. They would have been really stressed for the rest of the time I was in Israel. Why would I tell them? My point is that that's the Kibbutz Avim. Now, if you have a headache, you have to share with your parents or other people to share your... Now, there are things of challenging. I told my parents, my spouse, obviously. But you have guests, you know, they're just traveled or they're poor and they're coming to your house. They don't need to hear your whole peckle, all of your problems, all of your sorrows. They have enough. Like, sometimes I'm just sharing. I come home, I have a headache, you know, I'm dealing with who knows what. And my kid starts telling me all the problems of the world. Like, the first thing I come home, now, children, they're sharing, so obviously, but I'm not in the mood to hear it the first thing when I come home. Like, give me 10 minutes, give me 20 minutes, right? You're a guest! What do you need to hear that for? What do you need to share that for? Make them feel comfortable, make them, feed them, take care of them, mechazik them. Make it feel, I'll love to give you more. Make them feel like, take doubles if you can. If they're poor, hungry. But so, you're giving us a warm hand. The Zohar says on the Pasuk, when you should cut for the hungry your bread. That's what the Zohar says. Should tzarech, bal habayis, the host, the owner, needs to lachto chatichas lachem lefnerech, cut the bread, shmaka, big pieces. He should not be embarrassed. He's not going to, you know, today very common cut the whole challah, whatever it is. We get big pieces. He should get it. I think I mentioned last time that I was in Sim Bnei Brak and this family. I was they treated me, I was maybe 19, maybe I was 18. I was like a dignitary coming from, and I couldn't budge. Everything gave me food. I make a mention, at one point they left, I switched to my friend because I couldn't eat something, I felt so bad. They kept giving me, but I still didn't cut chal. Oh, not big enough for the guests. And it wasn't shtick, it wasn't games. The person was very sincere, I still remember this day. But so, the people are hungry, they want to cut a big piece. So give them a nice piece. The kol sheken, don't stare at people, they're eating kadesh, spice, and embarrass them. V'mi'alino etzlo. Now, there's levels of a chasorchem of welcoming guests. They can just eat by you, and they're traveling, and they may sleep by you. Yishakicha me'mitim mitosu. Give them a good bed, a comfortable bed. The best. Kifia roi lehem. Ki golo mi'uchas ayef bi'yos ha'shechem v'tayv. And if possible, give them a room where it's quieter in the house. I once was when I slept in someone's house, was traveling, I was married already, and I slept in a different city. I had to be somewhere for a simcha type thing. There was a host, and they put me near their teenage kids. I was like 3 a.m. in the morning, I was still hearing stuff. It was like crazy. And after that, I started bringing a sound machine with me. I couldn't sleep. I literally couldn't sleep. It was so loud. You know, since I always bring a sound machine when I travel. And that person was a very nice person, someone I respect. But if you're hosting, don't put it next to people that are not going to sleep. They're very loud. That's what you want. This is what it is. Give them a good right place. Because people are tired. And very often, the place you're sleeping is even more important than eating. Certainly today, unless they're really poor, you know, restaurants, many places there are. There's food they can get, they can buy food, but sleeping, it could be a challenge. The Yomim Belibo, here's the rule. Say, if the tables were turned, if I was the host and they were the guest, how would they like to be treated? So if you're the host, you'd say, actually, how if I was the guest, right, that's what I said, but just say it out. If I'm the host, how would I be like to be treated if I was the guest? I would like to be honored. I would like to be fed. I like to get food, drinks. I like a towel if I need for the shower, right? I like a bed that's comfortable. I would sleep somewhere the bed was like on an angle. It was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That's where the bed was. So I could like, I had to sleep against the wall, like literally like, leaning. Make sure the person it's comfortable. Again, I'm not talking about it was a plan, a chore, you explained, but and we know the way you treat others is the way you will be treated. Told his wife, we treat poor people with respect. And by the way, eventually, this is how it is. Our own defense will at one point need this. That's how the world is. They upon me rabas yikra. Very often happens. Sha'adam interrates lihech al-oreach. Al shulchanu, a person doesn't want to take a guest to his house for vos. Why? I don't have enough to give this person. I don't have enough. I have to get in the kitchen, I don't have this. But the MS ain't a tie. It's not a good rationale. It's not a good rationale unless there's somebody else who can take that person. If there's somebody else who has better accommodations. I remember a few times in life, I had a full house, kind of had a lot of kids, and someone asked to stay, and they were a person that wanted everybody, but it was a person of Torah scholar. But I set them up somewhere else. I didn't think they'd be comfortable. And I said, listen, I'd love to host you. You can come to me for meals, but sleeping ain't going to work. So, or maybe hope meals won't work. I have, it could be something's coming up. So if somebody else could take that person, great. Let's set them up in the best possible accommodations. But what if they have nowhere else to go? They have nowhere else they can go to. I remember when I was in Philadelphia, I'm sure it's changed, 20 years ago or so, somebody asked his host, a prominent person from Israel, because they were careful in Yashin, I was young, over 20 years ago. So they had nowhere else to go. It was me or nowhere. They were Shmuel Kamenetsky, someone on the other side, but the yeshiva probably, some of the Hanhala were careful. They need to keep yosha. I said, I don't have enough food. I'm embarrassed to host it. Of course you host a person. Someone needs to sleep. I don't have enough good accommodations. Let them sleep wherever. Right? If there's no one else, you're the best person, then you should, of course, should take it. Don't say, I don't have enough. My beds are uncomfortable. Let's go back to the Leaning Bed of Pisa or even the loud teenagers. If I have nowhere else, again, both those people were very good people. I don't think, you know, they weren't, you know, maybe they weren't thinking through 100%, perhaps, but they're very, very kind. It was very kind of them to open their house to me. If there's no one better to go to, of course you should go there. Something's better than nothing. Mutar sharech v'yikechenu v'chavdenu, which were the personal giver they can. V'achar, here's an important point, after you feed the person, after you give them to drink, and they're leaving, they're rejuvenated, they're taken care of, yizar l'alvas, you have to squirt them out. Right? They would squirt them out. This is a lost art, by the way. It's a Yiddish shazach, it's a Jewish thing. You have guests to walk them out the door, if you feed it, or if you're all the way back. In the old days, they walked to the end of the city with them. For Chamzal, the Talmud says in Zayta, it elaborates and extols it, praises this midas, this character trait. The Amish is chad levay in l'shir. There's really no end to the benefit. Gamdar shalapana pasuk. The Talmud says there over there in Zayta involved, and on the pasuk. For Anavar miyadena, we're talking about the eagle roof of a person dies between two cities. We don't know the, you know, is murdered, dies, and we don't know, they measure between two cities, and the closer city is, you take the elders, and they have to break a cow's neck, a calf's neck, and they say, we didn't kill this person. And so that's part of the nusach, the liturgy, that they say, and ask the Chametz Chaim, v'chitale al daitcha, you think the Sanhedrin killed some person outside the city? Why in the world do they have to exculpate themselves, say that they're not guilty, that we didn't kill this person? Ella, rather, loyri inuhu. What they're really saying is, we didn't see him, and let him leave the city, the town, the village, without food, and we didn't escort him out of the town. Now, the Mefarsh and the commentaries point out, if the guy starved to death, well, part of this, if he eating him food as he left, actually I mentioned, my wife told this young man who was staying with us, take some nut bars, take some cookies, whatever she gave him for the plane ride on the way back. You know, today is a plane ride, it's not that long, but the old days, you took a caravan for days. There was no kosher food stops, you know, necessarily you can get. Today you get kosher food at the airport, you may not get a full selection. Yeah, you know, actually today in LaGuardia, I know, because I think United, there's actually a kosher corner right near where I go. I don't usually buy there, but that's there. I know if I'm stuck, I can get food there. And you get nuts, you can get drinks anywhere, any airport, and other stuff. But in those days, we were traveling and nothing. But beyond that, the Mefarsha, the commentaries point out, when somebody leaves your house or your city and nobody escorts them, they feel there's a little bit of feeling of a nebuch, of a loser. Nobody cares about them, nobody loves them. Right? And what's the difference like coming and going? When you escort a person, you take him to the airport, you take him to the city edge, you walk him down the block when you're in your house, you're showing them, you're mechabit them, you're honoring them, you're giving a sense of shtolz, sense of presence. And when a person feels good about themselves, they're not victimized. They don't fall. When a person feels unloved, uncared for, there's a lot of negative consequences. One of them is that they're prone to get bullied, victimized, attacked on the road. It affects a subconscious or probably unconscious level of self-esteem. And so the case that we didn't let this guy leave the city without escorting him and giving him food for the road. You walk 4 amas, right? Eight feet lechumra, six and a half feet lekula. Not much, 8 feet the most. 4 amas. Shuvin and Isaac, you're giving this person a sort of metaphysical bracha and a practical, again, give him a sense of self. Or you won't get hurt in the way. And if you don't escort the person at that level, you're culpable for what happens to him. And you should force the levaya, just like you can force a person to give tzedakah. There's a long footnote over here. I'll just start it. I'm not gonna V'oid Amru, it says, the footnote says as follows, Kama Amru should be in the Chiyuv Levi Ad Heichan, to bring several Talmudic statements on the obligation to escort a guest, a visitor out of your house. V'zeh Lashon Rambam, here's the language of the Rambam, in the 14th parak of Avelis. D'v'tchilas ha-parak Hesiv Sham, Kama mitzvahs. In the beginning of the parak in the Rambam on Avelis, it delineates several mitzvahs of chesed, such as hachasas orchem, welcoming guests, bikur cholim, visiting the sick, nicham avelim, comforting the mourners. And then it says, listen to this, you would not guess this, visiting the sick, going to funerals, hosting. At the end of the list, it says the greatest chesed you can do, I can do, is levaya, escorting guests out. That's the greatest. I wouldn't say going to a funeral and being a hatsan, whatever. No, escorting the guests. It says v'huachayk shechalko Avraham Avinu. That's the chayk of Avraham Avinu v'derech chesed. That's how he did chesed, because you're not just giving the person food, drink, and a place to sleep. You're giving that person a sense of chashivas, sense of self-importance. It's so critical, right? When you're a parent, and you're parenting a child, you need to give a kid a feeling that they are a chashiv. They're important. Okay? They're meaningful. If you're a teacher, a rabbi, if you're a rav even, and you have people in your shul, and they feel like, okay, if they're a nebuch, if they're finished shas, and they feel like a nebuch, think they're going to go out and change the world, they feel like a nebuch, you give a person levi, you give them a person, you're important. You're an important person. You can do amazing things for the world. That's a chesed. The Ram says it's the gadol, the greatest reward. We learn from Avraham Avinu. V'derech ha-chesed shemacho, Michael, Avraham Avinu, fed all the wayfarers, all the people traveling, Mashka gave them drink, Umalavosan, and he walked out these Bedouin idolaters and gave them honor and covered Ugdol Chasas Orchim, and at some level Chasas Orchim is greater than even Kabbalah Shechina, with Avraham and the Melachim. Ulevium Yisra Chasasim, and the truth is, at some level, the squirting is even greater than the chasorchim. Now, obviously, the guy comes traveling on the road. He's eating and drink. He's starving. He's in danger, perhaps. Okay, you give him a sense. You feed his body. Of course, if he's healthy, he can serve Hashem. But when you escort him, you're feeding his soul directly, feeding his emotions. You're making him into a chashev. If Amru Chazal, kol she'enu malava, if you don't escort a person, you just let the guy leave town. I'll give an example. Your sibling comes from afar, and they come to visit you, and when they're leaving, you say, bye Bracha, bye Moishka, bye Stan, bye Betty, whatever, and they walk out of the house. No one says, just like you're still on your couch, right, your dining room table, reading your newspaper, Hamudia, Ted, definitely not the New York Times, doesn't belong on any Jewish table, right? And you're too busy with the newspaper, bye. How did they feel? They came from 3,000 miles away just to see you. Just to see you. You walk them out. If you're a good sibling and it's possible, take them to the airport. You give them food for the plane. Okay, don't give them water because it's going to get confiscated. But give them some food, right? And if you don't do that, you're killing them. It's shvichas dam. The sister Betty came for 3,000 miles away. She hasn't seen you for 4 years. You can't even walk her out. You took away the whole, part of the whole feeling that they came special for you. And they came to see you. Killing them at some level. Kaifin levaya, right? You can force people to do levaya, like you do for tzedakah. And if in this atzul, a person's a lazy bum, then you can even, at some level, you're killing these people. Vafilu malava, even if you only take them 8 feet, or maybe even less, 6.5, you get a lot of reward. What's the share of escorting a person out? For a teacher, technically speaking, to the end of the city, to the airport. For Ish Chavero to the Tchum Shabbos, which is not so pertinent in big cities. If you're out of the big cities, it could be really relevant. And a Talmud for his personal teacher, a Parsa or his Rabbi Mavak, three. Then he delineates a lot of halachas that because people are not careful enough in this, right? And he talks about how in Chesha Mishpat, it could actually have negative consequences. He brings up Shemat Shemaisa Machzorech. I heard about a certain house that was known for having guests that burned down, and he said the following thing. But small, how is it possible? This guy had guests all the time. He wined and dined guests. Such a house should burn down. He heard the name of a gadol. So the reason is he only had achila, the shesia, aleph, and shin. And he didn't have a levaya. He didn't escort them. He fed them. He gave them drinks. Didn't escort them. That's the aleph. It's achila. The shin is shtia. He missed lamed, so he had ish. He had fire, and that's what happened to his house. It burned down. And you see, he says there that just having a chilu v'shtiyah, eating and drinking, I guess, is not enough. It's ish unless you escort them out. And again, the Marshal says that the main thing when you escort them, you give them the belief in themselves. That's how important it is. Levaya, you're not talking about, strictly speaking, walk the guy out or the lady out 8 feet. If it's your parents, your siblings, if you're not taking them to the airport, taking an Uber or a taxi or they rented a car, walk them to their car. Say thank you for coming and walk them to their car. We're probably there. Now certainly if the guest is before ways, if they're on the way, so common Jewish, right? You can go different paths. This is again, there were no maps in those days. It's a mitzvah to go out and show them. Al kolpanim levar lahetiv, or at least explain it very well that they should not get lost. When you walk somebody out, you escort them out, or you say, "Follow me for half a mile. I'll show you how to get out of the city," right? It's tremendous reward. That's the mitzvah of levaya. The Aleph Hasim of Gemara, and the Gemara that Talmud says in Shoftim, the Navi says in Shoftim, prophets. They said, "Show us the how to get to the city, and do first chesed." This is the pasuk of Shoftim, and the Chazal tell us, the Yakos the Irlech Fichar, they destroy that city. It's a Canaanite city. The Jews, but the person who saved them, who showed them how to get to the city, went to Luz, and there that city had a merit that even when the Kharif came and was able to destroy it, he didn't mix it all up. This Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, doesn't really rule over it. And therefore, Zaram Kava Kolmer, this person who showed in the book of Shoftim had tremendous reward for showing them how to go. It was a Canaanite, a Canaani, who didn't really, he just pointed the way into the city. Actually, the apostles pointed the way in. If we go ahead and show a guest how to get to the airport, how to get out of the city, right? If we walk them out, how achas kama v'kama, how great our eternal reward is. In the Chafetz Chaim, when he re-elaborates on things, it should be a wake-up call, because what he's really saying is, this is something, for whatever crazy reason, people are not careful about. K'siv b'Torah, v'yate eishol b'b'ershol, avit eishol means, comes from achilas tivas levaya, eating, drinking, and escorting, but it says that Avram planted a eshkol, an eshkol, excuse me, in Beersheba, Yisva Avasarinasan, Shbana Plachin Gedolim, Bishvila Orachim, Venir Shamaichel Meshka, put their food and drink that people should have on the way. Umele Yekaimba Esei Sam, and at some level, you know, he didn't just give a person a package to go to the airport, to go to the caravan. Half a mile away, there was waiting for them there, you know. V'yesh omrim lina, so says he's levaya, so says lina, the lamed for eshel. V'chiv v'shoshin anu yichol kam achil v'shtia karoi. But he says sometimes you can't feed and drink them, right? I've had this over the years, I think I actually had it, but on both sides, either I've went to somewhere, someone came to me, spouse is not there, okay? No, you know, most men are, you know, I think my talents of making food, I'm spoiled, Baruch Hashem. I can make an egg if necessary. And toast, I'm a very good toast maker. You know, and I try not to burn it. And coffee, especially if it's Keurig, I can just put the pot in. I don't know, I'm hosting, there's no way I'm making a chicken or a fish like that, forget about it. Maybe you can take a frozen pizza and put it in the toaster. I don't know how to use a toaster, right? So sometimes you can't host somebody for, you know, eating or drinking for whatever reason, but you can still offer them a place to sleep and escort them, the lamed. He's putting all them by atzma, what's that over here? Person should think to themselves, shubana the famim bechatzero, kama batim shetzach duraso, vachle ezer stam spama, mesal vedaito, shukum tzrichalo. Is that tzrach in is that, right? To think, can I build an area for guests? Guests, having guests is an important thing. If you yourself can't, again, it's not nearly as necessary today because, first of all, the oral hotels, second of all, you know, albeit there are, you know, people who are involved in collecting for themselves because of outrageous medical bills and they can't afford them, or they have enough children and they can't afford them. It was way more common in those days. You had all kinds of poor people struggling who needed a place. And if you want to get eternal reward, be involved. If you can't host them, be involved in a guest house. There are, I think there's one or two in Chicago where they host people who need a place to stay. So these people should not sleep outside. Now again, today there's motels and cheap arrangements that usually people get. And again, be concerned about the food, not just when they're in their house, to make sure they have food for the plane, food for the car, especially if it's your parents, your sibling, but everyone. It's a part of being a good host. You shouldn't let them go. We didn't murder this person, which means on a metaphysical and a spiritual level, if they feel uncared about, you're going to ruin their self-esteem. On a spiritual level, they're siyata d'shmaya. On a practical level, right, maybe they'll end up compromising on their kashrus. There are people for sure will. They will compromise on kashrus. They will buy. I heard today somebody works for the CRC. Well, what's wrong if it has a K? Can't I eat if it has a K? K, you can be a Q. I mean, it means nothing. Anyone can put any letter. That's not a trademark. A K? K is a letter. So there are people who will buy K or some other hechsher, which is not proper, which is has legitimate questions on a hechsher. So if you don't give them food, there are people who actually eat on kosher or is compromising the kashrus. And had they had food, they wouldn't have this problem. We know that had Yonasan given David two loaves of bread, he would never went to Nov, Kohan Dog would never have seen him there and told Shaul, because at that point he felt that was an open revolt, a rebellion. So had all Yonatan did is given David bread, he would not have stopped in the city of Nov to get bread, which was from the Kohanim, and he would not have got Goliath's sword. For Nagu, B'chol Yisrael, he says in the B'chol Yisrael, and again, this is not as common today, but we still can learn from this, that it has to have groups of Achas Orachim, just like there's a Chevra Kedisha to bury people, right? There was a Chevra Kedisha, so to speak, of Achas Orachim, making sure every guest is taken care of. If you go to Carl and Stolen, I imagine this way today, when I was a Bachar, Ben Ezmanim, I would often go to Carl and Stolen. You'd walk in there, and then people say, oh, well, could we set you up for a meal? You walk into the shul, they say, could we set you up for a meal? It's this Hasidic group, right? Really, ideally, there should be people who are looking to set you up, right? Or set up people, all kinds of guests. And they strengthen Hamischazkin Mitzazu, says the Chafetz Chaim, V'Asher Chalkom. Praise it is the Chalkom. It's not just the helping of the guests. It's I'm an official, so it's a Kiddush Hashem. Like I mentioned last week that a girl could tell me on the plane that it's normal to invite strangers to your house. That she started hanging out with the Orthodox. She wasn't even fully Orthodox that day. She's, I think maybe the Rebbe's a toy from girl. You know, that's Kiddush Shem Shemayim. You host people, you take care of them, you escort them, make them feel good. That's the Yiddish way. That's our Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. And as we started, in a world of Chil Hashem, it's a Tikkun, it's a Kiddush Hashem. It's not just the Chesed, it's Shemes Chesed. But it's Kiddush Hashem to act it in a way, and it brings bracha in this world, and the next world, and Emir Hashem. Our chesed, orachim, our good deed, should be the schus to bring Mashiach, tzikeinu, b'mehera, v'yameinu. Okay, we'll hold that.